exciting.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Worlds Week, PDGA Pro Worlds. We are going back to Emporia, Kansas.
We are really, really excited about this revisiting to one of the capitals of the world of disc golf, as unlikely as it sounds, right there in the middle of Kansas. Worlds events starting later on this week with not only preparations, but there are field events and doubles over the weekend. And then everything begins in earnest as of next Tuesday. And Jennifer, I'm curious, before we get on to the rest of our show, you're getting ready to head back out to Emporia. You're getting ready to do your own final preparations. What do you expect is going to be different this time around from when you last saw the courses?
Well, when we played it earlier this year at DDO, we had some extremely strong winds. Oh, yeah. So I think the courses are going to play a lot better, a lot more scoreable. We'll get to actually play the courses, not correctly, but as we typically would. So I think it'll be a lot more natural play. We really had to change how we threw, what we threw, everything we were thinking earlier this year with the extremely strong winds almost every single round. So I'm definitely excited to give it another look and try to attack the course a lot better and see what it brings. The course changes that they made, I thought were really fun, but we really didn't get a true sense of them with that.
Yeah. Did you play a lot before with just one or two discs, it felt like, just because you had to keep going back to, you know, super high speed overstable stuff?
Yeah, the absolutely most stable disc in my bag every single hole. And it was crazy too, because you know, you had to throw a high speed stable disc, but then also the skips were unbelievable. So some of the shots you felt like, man, I hit the line perfectly, and I would just get these huge skips when the ground got super duper dry and it was so windy. So the conditions were very tough. So we'll see what changes.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the weather gives us. I know you just mentioned the wind, and we can assume the wind will be down, at least compared to what it was like in April. That was crazy. But you would expect it would be pretty hot. I know that in where I am now, about 5 hours-ish south of Emporia, we are expecting rain over this coming weekend, so the days leading into the tournament. So I don't know if that will have, you know, maybe by the time the system gets up there, it'll be a day or two later. So I don't know. I don't trust weather forecasts any further than I can throw them when we're this far out. But I'm curious to see how that unfolds and if the heat is a factor, like fatigue-wise, or if just the lengths of those courses, especially the country club, that is a long, long walk.
Yeah, both courses are extremely long and exhausting. Yeah. They're very, very tough, challenging courses that there's not very many easy holes. You know, every hole is very challenging on both courses. I would definitely expect we would not have the rain chances and the weather that we typically do in the springtime, right, for Kansas. Sure. I would assume we're going to have still some humidity and some heat to deal with. I tried to train for that actually this morning. I thought I got an early enough round out here in Arizona, and I still felt like I almost died by 10 o'clock. So hopefully I'm getting my heat training in this week before I head out.
You feel good otherwise, other than the preps you're going to have to do there on the course, like otherwise health-wise, like energy-wise, all of that? Are you feeling good going into this Worlds?
Yeah, I feel like I'm finally getting almost healthy. It took me a long time to get over that back injury, and it's not completely gone, but I feel like my game is finally getting back to the point where I can throw hard again without a brace. Strengthening, I'm putting and practicing every day. I've really, really enjoyed these breaks back home, and not only am I back home, but I'm not having to go home and work. So usually, right, you know, in the past, in between tournaments, I would be home, but I'd be working, so I didn't really have a break. Yeah. So I've enjoyed these times being off work right now and truly getting to prepare and rest and spend some time with my kids. So the weeks in between that I've taken off and chosen not to play these big events, I've really enjoyed being home.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to after Worlds coming back with you here on the podcast and like seeing what it was like through your eyes, like from a perspective that's very much between the ropes. You know, everyone will get the other perspective, sure, but you'll be able to show a little bit of what it was like for you as a player from a lot of different angles, both from the actual competition, but also like the history and maybe running into some old school people that always show up at Worlds and getting a chance to see those old friends again and all that. So we'll definitely be hitting that here after Worlds concludes. But another little bit of information that I want to share with everybody before we get into our special guest today is the Disc Golf Network will be broadcasting PDGA Pro Worlds. And the Disc Golf Network is also launching a new product, a new stream with Worlds. It's going to be a featured hole stream. So if you're familiar with like how the Masters, the infamous golf tournament goes, they have a way you can go on their website and you can watch just Amen Corner, just those very special sort of historic three holes. And then you can watch every group come through all day long. So it's a great way to get to see players that you might otherwise not get to see, or to get to see a part of the course in a little bit more detail than you normally would as just the main broadcast like cycles through. And anyway, that product is going to be launching on Tuesday morning. It's going to start at the exact same time as the regular broadcast feed. And I am going to be anchoring that feed, that special featured hole stream that people can choose to watch all day long and just kind of sit there and enjoy all of the action as though you're sitting there next to your favorite hole and just watching people go through. Or you can toggle back and forth. But I'm really looking forward to that. And it's going to be a brand new product that we're going to feature starting at World. So make sure you tune in and get a chance to check that out.
I think that'll be great. That I like the perspective of getting to see a variety of more people.
Right.
The more golf, the merrier. So I think that'll be an awesome new ad.
Well, it'll be also fun to see all day long how players play a particular hole with the wind and stuff. So you'll be able to say definitively after a little while, everybody is landing short of this. I don't know why, but you know, or everybody's flirting with this one spot of out of bounds, even though that doesn't make sense, but there must be something in the wind or something in what the players are seeing that's causing that. So it'll be really fun to kind of dissect maybe what's going on a little more. Plus we also intend to let nature and stuff really shine and to back away from the microphone and let you just kind of immerse yourself as though you're there into the sounds of the wind and the birds and the players' banter.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a really cool deal. I can't wait to get it started. But I should probably shut up now.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing we can't wait to get started is we are bringing back this episode our current still world champions. So our very first guest today is none other than the beautiful Katrina Allen.
Welcoming in, and for just a few days more, the reigning world champion, Katrina Allen.
Hi, guys.
And I say for a few days more because we all know that can easily be re-upped. But first things first, let's look back and let's talk about some of the strongest memories that still linger from that 2021 World Championship.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think, you know, obviously my final upshot on hole 18. Yeah, I don't think in all 12 years that I've showed that much emotion on the course. but yeah, my mom being there, he's going to kill me for this, but Austin had tears in his eyes hugging me. I had friends coming out of the woods while they were on the course, probably causing backups, like congratulating me. And I mean, yeah, I could go on forever. That was one of my favorite weeks of all my career.
It definitely seemed like a magical moment and you know, all the pressure that just built, that it really did come down to the 18th.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I played the Utah Open, and then obviously we had played that course twice going into the third and final round of Worlds, and I had played it under par. And so there's nothing better than coming to the final hole of any event, let alone the best event, being in contention and just feeling like dialed in and confident. And from years of battling with Paige, I know that, you know, under pressure, she can, when it gets to closer shots around the basket, I know that she can have a tendency to early release or overdo it. And so I guess I just really felt like that put that pressure on by sticking the green on 18.
Were you surprised that she attempted to lay up? She's pretty aggressive.
I guess, to be honest, I don't even think I was thinking about it. I just, because was I two back at that point?
I think it's been a while. One back.
I'm trying to think of, like, I think I thought even if she went for it, like, just a, yeah, I guess.
Because if she would have went for it, she would have been about circle's edge putt if she would have went long OB.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Macbeth story, Macbeth and James story are very similar. And, you know, he said no matter how many times he would lay up as well. So, you know, I feel like in her situation, I probably would have. Well, I say that, but I felt so confident on the hole. I can't say that for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's so tough to say, really.
What was it like in the days immediately after, in terms of just like people clamoring for your attention, people need photo shoots, people want interviews, maybe even some media entities outside of our sport even might have wanted some attention from you or something? Like, what was all of that like? And was that different this time around than it was with your first world championship several years ago?
Right. Several.
Just a few.
I think my world championship was so long that a lot of people thought that was my first world championship. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I got to be on KFan in Minnesota. It was way different for sure. I mean, like to be on KFan, that's where like the Minnesota Vikings are being interviewed. Like, that's pretty freaking awesome. And yeah.
Your first win was in Portland, and there was some big gallery, but definitely things have changed. You know, we had the bleachers there on the 18th. What was that like, having pretty much a stadium to come down to on the 18th to finish?
So we were talking about that, and I kind of, someone said that Worlds, last year's Worlds, was the first Worlds of the new era of disc golf. You know, just the way things are now. I mean, we had 70 women in the field. I'm pretty sure you had to pay to get in the event. I mean, you could just go on and on and on about how far we've come, but you know, kind of the post COVID first Worlds where we've seen the explosion in the course or in the sport. And yeah, the bleachers, I mean, I don't know how long I signed discs after my round, but it was, it was a long time, and it was amazing. And yeah, like I said, I feel like we could go on and on about the differences from 2014 to 2021.
And it was such, I feel like, a fair Worlds on the fact that we had a ball golf course as well as a wooded course to really try to find our true champion and test your skills on all levels. Did you love having both challenges as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think deep down, I always will love ball, golf, wind, and OB, you know, like that's a challenge I enjoy as opposed to, you know, the woods. I did feel like even in the final round, although I felt like I was staying very calm and non-reactive, there were definitely some breaks that I thought I personally threw a great shot and just like a late tree and watch someone hit first available and redirect into the sweet spot. And it can be a little frustrating, but at the same time, you know, being in the woods and having the opportunity to scramble and have to have touch and control your angle and things like that. So yeah. I think it's great. I think we, you know, I do feel yeah, like I didn't just win on a course that I personally am good at. It did feel like I had to play great. Throw all of my shots.
Yeah, it tested all of our skills for sure. What about, would you compare that to this year? We are on a ball golf course, but our second course is not as wooded. It's pretty long with a lot of OB, kind of like a ball golf course. What do you think about our two courses this year for Emporia?
I think I have always secretly had a little. So in 2000, I think it was 11 or 2011, maybe, if I think back. It was my first, I think, cash at an NT, or maybe a would have been a super tour. Anyways, so I've always loved the courses, so I'm probably a little biased for sure. Mm-hmm. I do love the park. I also grew up, or not grew up, started playing disc golf in my late 20s. I started playing disc golf on park golf. So I think Jones makes, you know, kind of reminds me of the kind of golf I started playing.
It used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, like I just said, I love when it gets just ripping out there on a, it's a different mindset. So, yeah.
On that topic of mindset, you've talked about how you felt very prepared in a lot of ways, mentally, physically, et cetera, for last year's Worlds. And obviously that paid off. Have you been able to sort of figure out what that recipe was and repeat it to some degree this year? How do you feel in terms of your preparation now going into this world?
I think it's going to be hard not to just do the same exact thing I did last year, but I think I'm a different player and a different person. And, but I know the two things I did really well last year was getting off of social media. I think it was, way over a week before. So I didn't have to hear everyone's opinions about who was going to win, what the courses are. I know there was a lot of controversy about, you know, silly OB lines and all. And I just wanted to not have anything to do with that because it's nothing I can control. And I just, I remember playing the Utah Open and not really liking the fort. And so Monday morning, Austin and I both just went straight there and we're like, we're going to learn to love this place and we're going to learn how to play this place to the best of our abilities. And so I think, you know, that's definitely something I'm going to do is just go out all next week and just learn to play the courses to my game. I'll definitely delete social media. And then the thing I did really well last year is not over practice. I've definitely been guilty of it's Worlds and oh my gosh, like I need to, you know, I can't leave unless I've perfected this tee shot or I know what I'm doing off of every single shot. And I really just played one round a day. We went and got in the river and I just tried to, you know, do what I needed to do, but not overdo it. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing I did was, kind of not take the pressure off of myself. I wanted to win so bad, but I had to kind of just keep putting that aside and just focus on like, okay, it's practice day. What can I do today? Okay, I can get a game plan. I can fix the holes I'm struggling with, things like that, instead of staying, you know, trying to get too ahead of myself, put too much pressure on myself.
Yeah, it's such a fine line, especially at the top elite where we do know that we have a talent, but you also cannot put that pressure upon yourself. And you add in that mixture of wanting to reach a goal so bad, and it can get very dangerous. And so I do feel like that is where our true champions, you know, shine and prevail. With the fact that they just find that good mixture of determination and wanting to achieve that goal, but not putting, you know, going past the line of putting too much pressure that you have to do it. Because we all know that, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yep.
But but it is a very fine line. And of course, we're not out there unless we want to win. So we all do want to win. But you trained hard all year. It wasn't just that week or two or three before. You were very adamant that you wanted to prove to the world and disc golfers and the young, you know, our kids that are looking up to us, that working hard, putting in the effort, both on and off the course, physically and with your game, that you can be, that we are athletes. And I personally loved that last year. Your your way of showing the world that, you know, we do have to work hard and we can achieve our goals.
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, with the new disc golf, with the explosion and social media and all this stuff, it can sometimes, it's something I'm not the greatest at, social media. And I've always just wanted to be liked for my game and my hard work and my preparation and my and my discipline. And I really just, you know, felt like there was also a lot of women who really do that. And so it was kind of like, not just for me, but for the other women in the sport who are like going to the gym and meditating. And, you know, I'll have girls be like, hey, I took an ice bath the other day, or I took an ice cold shower because I heard you said something about it. And like, I want a division full of those women, mm-hmm. you know, of hardworking who, and I think we're close, but yeah, no, they really did. That was probably one of the, aside from just how awesome a world title can be for your career, that was one reason I wanted to win as well.
Yeah. And a lot of people may not know your background. You've been an athlete your entire life. Do you want to take this time to kind of share all the sports or some of the things that kind of got you to this point?
So I've been playing sports since I was in kindergarten. Actually probably before that. I remember kicking a soccer ball in the backyard at like probably 3 or 4, however old you are. But I played volleyball, basketball, track, gymnastics, and tennis.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all?
And now I'm an avid pickleball player, and I just shot an 87 in golf yesterday, so I'm freaking stoked about that. I coached volleyball for 5 years, and I think that was super beneficial to when I got into disc golf. I had a coach mentality. So I would be like, I would set myself up drills, because back then you could go the course and you wouldn't see a person for hours. And so I would just do drills and field work, and it wasn't so much about playing rounds, but, oh my gosh. You know, like I said, I live for pickleball. I go play golf a lot after my rounds. I really feel like that was what helped me be good in the beginning, was my sports background. I was very competitive and very like I said, my practice rounds were more like
driven. Yeah. I would consider you very driven.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, I think my mom said when I was little, I lost at Monopoly, and I was just like, like, this is stupid. I don't it's just in my blood. I've been competitive since I was teeny tiny.
Stupid game.
Yeah. You can ask Austin, we played Monopoly weeks ago and he won. And I was like, I hate this game. If I can't win, that's probably why I never played softball. I don't think I'm very good at hitting the ball. So.
Yeah.
Well, not a fan of those sports.
Well, you are competitive. That's part of what drives you. And so this might be an interesting question as we sort of start to wind things down. You're going into this week at Worlds as the defending champion. Does that title, defending champion, does that bring any extra motivation for you? Is it just enough? It's Worlds, so it's more than another tournament. But like, does the defending part have any sort of weight to it for you? Do you draw from that at all?
I think, you know, just the experience and just thinking about really, like, I think I started the tournament over par in like 5 or 6 back, and just a reminder of, you know, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be pretty. You just have to like grind. And I think that's what I did so well last year. So that's what, when I think of defending champ, I think of like, I don't know. It just brings me back to that week and the mindset I was in. And I don't know. I think that it almost takes pressure off. I know that sounds crazy, but like, like I'm, you know, like I've done it. And I think there'll be a lot of people who play who don't do it once, let alone twice. So it's kind of like something that helps me sometimes is like, you know, I remember stepping up last week to Ledgestone and they're like 5-time Ledgestone champion. And I was like, okay, if you win, that's great. Let's not just sit here and put pressure on ourselves to start.
Right.
But yeah, I guess I don't want to think too much about it, like defending it, because then that could put pressure that's unnecessary. And sure. Like, it's such a fine line.
I think it's helpful we change locations too, because this is a new, you know, new courses, new place, new players. And so you get to take your experiences and try, you know, like you said, to get back in that zone, but knowing that this is a new time and you have to start over from scratch and you have to work just as hard. Yep. And you just have to take the knowledge of the, you've done it before.
Yeah.
And this is a whole new championship.
Yeah.
Kat, would winning this year's world championship mean anything different with a new sponsor?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, great question.
That's a great question. I mean, if I won this world, I mean, you know, last year meant so much to me for like personal quiet reasons that I like out of social media. But I mean, I think that'll be the toughest part, to put the pressure off myself to win for DGA, because they are such like huge supporters. And Squatch, like, I get messages from them after every, you know, like, they're just so, it's so crazy to have a sponsor who's just like so happy to have you on the team. And so, yeah, I think it would mean so much to me to win for my sponsor, especially because of what DGA has done for the sport. And I don't think they've always gotten the spotlight that they deserve. And I personally have felt that about myself, and that's my own fault for not, you know, putting myself out there in social media. And I kind of keep to myself and don't do the YouTube videos and all those things. But so yeah, it would be a really sweet moment. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Kat, there's nothing else to say. No, like, you are charged up. You're ready to go. You've seen these courses. You know exactly what to expect. And you've already got a plan put in place to go out there and prepare these last minute sort of details and things like that. So the last thing we want to do is keep you from that. We want to send you on your way and wish you the best of luck. And thank you for letting us see a little bit into what it's like for someone to be a world champion and now to come back and sort of reminisce on it and just keep building your career from there. So thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Kat.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Well, we were very grateful to Katrina for being able to take a few minutes out of her Des Moines Challenge week just to chat with us about her reign as world champion. Now for the second time, which is coming to an end, and she's looking forward to trying to defend that championship. We also managed to catch up with James Conrad. Now, James Conrad doesn't travel with a lot of technology. It's just kind of not his thing. And so it's a little bit challenging sometimes to catch up with James. But after the last day of the Des Moines Challenge, I literally found him in the parking lot and was able to snag just a couple of minutes with him. You're going to hear the wind blowing. You're going to maybe hear dogs barking. But more importantly, you'll get to hear James and you'll get to hear his take on what it's been like as a reigning world champion for the last year. Managed to catch up with James Conrad here on the eve of the final day of the Des Moines Challenge. James, you're still here in the parking lot. Players are beginning to roll out. Some are heading straight to Emporia. You're the defending world champion. You've got something maybe a little bit different in your mind when it comes to approaching this year's tournament than many others, and that's a unique thing. First off, how has this year been for you as the defending world champion? What kinds of things have come of that?
It has been a really cool feeling all year to be the world champion. You know, I've been playing tournaments all year, and a lot of times on hole one, the person announcing us will be like, "And up next, our defending world champion, James Conrad." And every time that just, like, you know, it feels great. It's really cool. And yeah, as far as, you know, apart from that and like the recognition, you know, I feel like obviously I've had a lot of fans and stuff wanting to congratulate me and just to ask me to sign their discs or have photos or whatever. But yeah, I've just tried to keep playing my game and not let that add any pressure, you know, being the world champion or anything like that. But overall, it's just been a great feeling. And it's also kind of cool. I've been able to soak it up for about 14 months now. Worlds was pretty early last year and a little later this year. So it's been a while since the last Worlds, but I'm stoked for another crack at it.
I want to ask you about after the shot, because the shot has been played over and over, as it should. Afterward, though, in the day after the shot and after winning and hoisting that trophy, in the week after, you had people clamoring for your attention like never before, including probably some entities outside of our disc golf world. Was that an interesting shift for you to have to go out there and be public like that?
Yeah, it was definitely a bit unique to me. I wouldn't say that I'm the most inclined to like to want to jump on people's podcasts or things like that. So to have a lot of people like wanting that from me was at times a little bit overwhelming, but it was always good feelings. You know, it was people that were like stoked for me and just wanted to hear my thoughts and hear my feelings. And that's a cool feeling to have people that are interested in what I'm doing and what was going through my mind and those kinds of things.
How did you feel preparation wise going into last year's Worlds? And then how does that compare to how you feel now going into this year's Worlds?
I felt like the preparation I did out in Utah was big. It definitely helped me a lot. I was there for the little B tier they ran like a week and a half before. And so I was probably there close to 2 weeks before Worlds started. And going tomorrow, you know, that's, I think, 8 or 9 days before Worlds start. So it's still a great amount of time to be in Emporia and just be getting used to the temperature and like the wind and what's going on there. Another thing I did really well, I think in Utah, the heat was a pretty big factor for some people. It was not the humidity that we might have in Kansas, but I was super diligent about drinking, you know, 2 gallons plus of water a day. And so I'm going to try to get back on that train. I mean, I should never have left it. You know, I think water is one of the best things you can do for yourself, but that's something I'm going to be really conscious of this next couple of weeks, is just making sure I get enough fluids in my body, because I sweat a lot. So I gotta replace it.
What about outside the lines in terms of your rest, your physical fitness and you know, being void of injuries, your mental preparation? How was that going into last year's Worlds, and how is that heading into this year's?
Yeah, I'm fortunate to feel healthy and to feel like I'm in a pretty good mental place. I think the same could be said last year. I think a lot of the mental preparation will come this coming week or week and a half. Just really, even just in your downtime, you know, kind of going through the course in your head, just trying to focus in and not, if I have anything else that I'm slightly worried about, trying to get that, you know, off the plate in this coming week, get any extra things taken care of, so that when the tournament starts, I'm just 100% there and present and trying to focus in and get it done.
And when that tournament starts, you will be introduced as the defending world champion. Now, there's not a wrong answer to this question. For some, that might be a little extra juice, a little extra motivation. For others, the approach is, this is just any other tournament. Which one of those is that going to be for you?
I think I will try to let it be a little boost, a little extra motivation to run it back. And, you know, I've had a lot of people these last couple of weeks being like, good luck in Worlds. Try to do it again, you know, and stuff like that. So I know there's people out there cheering for me, and I know I'm going to give it everything I have next week.
Well, James, thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us. You're getting ready, I assume, to hit the road yourself, drive the, what is it, 150 miles, 200 miles, 300, I don't know what it is, from Des Moines to Emporia. But once you get there, best of luck as you prepare. Best of luck for your health as you lead up into this chance to defend your world championship. And thanks again for talking to us.
You're welcome, and thanks so much.
We'd like to thank everyone again for joining us this week, especially a huge thank you to Katrina and to James for taking time out to join us on PDGA Radio. It's going to be a fun, full, exciting week in Kansas. And next time we talk, we're going to have 2 new world champions.
In the meantime, stay tuned. We will have another special Worlds-related episode coming out before the first shot of PDGA Pro Worlds, and you're not going to want to miss it. We've got a very special guest on their way to join us in the studio. So stay tuned for that here in the coming days. Until then, see ya.
Bye.